Thank you so much. Morning. I'm Jocelyn Newcomb. I am the mother of 5 very fun children between the ages of 8 and 14 months. And it's part of the reason why I'm committed to ensuring that as many women as possible have the right to safe pregnancies and deliveries. I have no relationships to disclose, and my presentation will include discussion of off-label use of misoprostol, which is a uterine tonic for the prevention of PPH. Thank you. I am the Deputy Director of Society for Family Health, which is PSI's affiliate in Zambia, and I'm going to talk with you this morning about a very exciting program, which is preventing postpartum hemorrhage among women who are the most susceptible given their limited access to skilled providers and safe delivery in rural parts of the country. PSI is currently working in 7 countries to prevent PPH with misoprostol, and we'll be adding an additional 5 to 8 countries next year. In Zambia, women have a lifetime risk of maternal mortality, 1 to 27. And maternal mortality is unacceptably high. It's decreased recently, but it still remains over 100 times higher than the developing world. PPH is a leading cause of maternal death among Zambian women. We have very high and increasing fertility. The total fertility rate increased between the last 2 demographic and health surveys. And we have a population size of about 12 million people, roughly 2/3 of whom live in rural areas. I'm going to talk with you about a program that is working to improve access to safe delivery among rural women. And it was designed in 2008 in collaboration with the Ministry of Health. PSI worked with the Ministry of Health to identify the districts where the reported rates of home deliveries were the highest, so districts where women had the least access to skilled providers and oxytocin as the first-line uterotonic of choice. For some reason, my map's not coming up here. Just a little bit about the safe delivery context in Zambia. Less than half of all children are delivered with the assistance of a skilled provider. Rural women and rural deliveries are the most likely to occur at home without a skilled provider. And the lack of transportation is a major reason for not going to a health facility. On the plus side, the majority of all Zambian women do go for antenatal care at least once, and 70% go 4 or more times. In addition, misoprostol has been approved within Zambia for PPH prevention since 2008. And in that context, PSI designed a program to work with 10 out of the 73 districts with women had the least access to skilled providers. So what are we doing to improve access to safe delivery? We're routinely distributing misoprostol to women during prenatal care. We're training all facility staff and community members, community volunteers, traditional birth attendants. There's a cadre of community workers in Zambia known as the Safe Motherhood Action Groups. We're training the SMAGs as well to correctly promote use of misoprostol for PPH prevention in cases where access to a skilled provider and oxytocin is limited. We're conducting regular supervision visits to all facilities in the 10 districts that we're working with. We've developed a variety of provider and client tools, and we've developed a social marketing product with a brand name MisoSafe, following discussions with many provincial and district-level authorities who had a lot of difficulty pronouncing misoprostol, not to mention the women we're targeting directly. We're working very closely with the Ministry of Health and other partners to implement this program. This is a picture from a flip chart which we're using to train facility-based providers as well as community members, and which facility-based providers are then using to counsel women during prenatal care about correct use of misoprostol for PPH prevention. This is the Take Action Safe Delivery card, which is distributed to every antenatal woman when she comes in for antenatal care, along with the 3 tablets of misoprostol. The recommended dose is 600 micrograms. It comes as 3 tablets of 200 micrograms each. So the woman receives 3 tablets of misoprostol together with this small laminated card, which is given to them in local languages. But you'll see here in the English version that it lays out the 9 steps for a safe delivery using misoprostol. And it also emphasizes that if possible, women should come back to deliver at the facility. If they're unable to do so, this is how they use misoprostol at home correctly. During the first 12 months of the program, it was launched in March of 2009. I'm going to talk just a little bit about what we've experienced in the first year. We now have been implementing this program for about a year and a half, and in the first 12 months, we distributed almost 200,000 tablets of misoprostol to 205 facilities in the 10 districts that we're working in. And what that means is that we're working with every single mission and government facility in these priority districts, which have been identified by the ministry. Of those 200,000 tablets, roughly half were then distributed by facility-based providers to antenatal women. We trained 673 facility-based providers, almost 200 community volunteers, and every facility in the surrounding community was visited between 2 and 3 times in the first year. We are tracking the tablets returned unused as well as the reason for returning them. In some cases, women return the tablets. If they go into labor unexpectedly, for example, they've traveled to visit a sister and they didn't take the tablets with them because they weren't due to deliver, they delivered early, then they return the tablets and explain. In other cases, they come back to the facility as they've been instructed to deliver and they bring their tablets with them, the tablets are returned, and the skilled provider at the facility administers oxytocin. We had no reported complications in the first 12 months of implementation, and we also have documented improved access to oxytocin at the same facilities which are distributing misoprostol, which is very important for us because we want to make sure that the program does not interfere with oxytocin as the first-line drug of choice. Thank you. So, we know what our MIS data tells us, but we wanted to conduct a qualitative study to learn more about what happens after antenatal women receive the misoprostol. And as a result, we conducted in-depth interviews with a relatively small number of clients. This is a qualitative study, which was conducted among women who had received misoprostol during an antenatal visit. Some of whom had used the misoprostol at home, some of them had used the misoprostol at a facility which was stocked out of oxytocin. About 40% of the rural facilities that we're working with in these 10 districts report stockouts of oxytocin at any one time. And the study was conducted in 3 of the 10 districts. So what have we learned from the study? When we ask women about their experience and about what they learned during the antenatal counseling, we found that women were quite knowledgeable about why and how to use misoprostol correctly for PPH, and also cognizant of the importance of taking it after delivery. And I want to draw your attention to this first quote, where a 37-year-old mother of 7 who delivered at home in Zhongguei District says, I asked if I had to take the drug when the labor pains started, and I was told no, I only take the drug after giving birth, because if you take during the labor pains, you've killed the child as the drug is very reactive. And that's very important because one of the key messages that we're promoting through the antenatal counseling is that misoprostol is taken immediately after delivery, but should never be taken while the woman is still pregnant. What about, did they discuss misoprostol with anyone? And we learned that they discussed misoprostol with their family, with their community members, with those who they plan to have help them with their delivery. In terms of storing the drug, we found that women were quite careful about how and where they stored the drug. This first quote says, "For me, I was very cautious about how and where I kept the drug. I put the drugs where I put the antenatal cards so that whatever would happen, I could just carry them together and go. I do not want to start looking for the drug when it was time." So we were very pleased that women understood that they need to be careful about where they put it and that they need to keep it together with their other delivery items. What about remembering how and when to take it? We found that overall women reported that they remembered when to take it, and they also reported that they were counseled during regular follow-up routine antenatal visits about correct timing and the use of misoprostol. This is a picture from our flip chart, which emphasizes that women should take it after delivery. And you can see that we're using pictures as well as local languages. All of these materials are translated into local languages to ensure that they're understood by the groups that we're working with. What was their experience with misoprostol, women who use the drug? I want to just share one quote from a 25-year-old mother of five who said, "What used to happen before was not good because the placenta delayed to come out, so we were forced to use our hands to pull it out, which was still dangerous because there was a possibility that there would be some things remaining inside the womb. Now when I had this baby, I had no problems. After taking misoprostol, it just took a minute and the placenta came out immediately, so I have seen the difference on this one." Another quote. Would you recommend, if when we asked women, would you recommend misoprostol to your sister? She says, another woman says, "I can tell her to be taking the three pills from the clinic and to stop listening to the old women from the village who encourage us to be taking concoctions and tell us the same pills we get from the clinic cause the head of the unborn baby to grow big." So some myths at the community level, which obviously need to be addressed. We did find some reported variation in the understanding about the specific timing of when it should be ideally be used. We also found reports of some community level myths that misoprostol has a negative impact on milk production and that may interfere with fertility. And one of the issues that we were very concerned about is whether distributing misoprostol antenatally would have a negative impact on whether women would be likely to come back to the facility to deliver at a facility. And what we found when we asked whether receiving misoprostol antenatal would had changed their plans about where they would deliver, women across the board said no. When we were being given that drug, we were told sometimes you might fail to come here and end up delivering from home or on the way, so it's important to take the drug home with you so that it can help you. Another woman said, "I wanted to deliver at the hospital, but unfortunately I had terrible pains with my legs. That's how I told mother that I will just deliver at home." So across the board, we heard women tell us that receiving the misoprostol during their antenatal care did not sway their decision about where they would deliver, and many of them still returned to the facility to deliver, returned the misoprostol. But for those who were unable to, for transport or other reasons, they had the misoprostol and they were able to have a safer delivery. What does the experience of this pilot suggest for PPH prevention programming in Zambia and other countries? Overall, the study and our experience suggests that when provided with messages about self-administration of misoprostol for safe delivery at home, rural Zambian women have demonstrated that they understand why and how to use the drug, side effects which are associated with it, what to do if they do not use the drug. And because of these findings, we recommend that antenatal distribution of misoprostol in areas where access to skilled providers and oxytocin should be expanded, not only in Zambia, but in other countries with similar contexts. We believe that there's scope to increase the delivery of messages about correct use, ideally using testimonials from women who've experienced using misoprostol. We need to make sure that women receive correct information about how to use misoprostol through various channels and not just antenatal care. Ideally, we would like to develop a 3-pill individual dose so that providers do not have to cut out of the blister packs. Misoprostol is currently registered in Zambia as a 20-pill pack, so it's 2 blisters of 10-pill packs, which means that rural providers are having to cut out of the 10-pill blister pack 3 tablets for each individual dose. And what we'd like to do is develop a prepackaged 3-pill product which could be distributed together with information about correct use to every antenatal mother. And lastly, and most importantly, that we continue to integrate PPH prevention through misoprostol into the broader safe delivery programming to emphasize that the best option is for a woman to deliver at a facility where she's most likely to find a skilled provider and be able to receive oxytocin. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for that very interesting presentation. And unfortunately, as we know, that one of the major causes contributing to maternal mortality is also the postpartum hemorrhage.